Our reading, that's John chapter 4, verse 5 to 42.
In Samaria, Jesus came to a town named Sychar, which was not far from the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw some water, and Jesus said to her,
"Give me a drink of water."
His disciples had gone into town to buy food. Now Jews will not use the same cups and bowls that Samaritans use. So the woman answered,
"You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan. So how can you ask me for a drink?"
"If only you knew what God gives, and who it is that is asking you for a drink, you would ask him, and he would give you life-giving water."
"Sir, you haven't got a bucket, and the well is deep. Where would you get that life-giving water? It was our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well. He and his sons and his flocks all drank from it. You don't claim to be greater than Jacob, do you?"
"Whoever drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring, which will provide him with life-giving water and give him eternal life."
"Sir, give me that water, then I'll never be thirsty again, nor will I have to come here to draw water."
"Go and call your husband and come back."
"I haven't got a husband."
"You are right when you say you haven't got a husband. You have been married to five men, and the man you live with now is not really your husband. You have told me the truth."
"I see you are a prophet, sir. My Samaritan ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where we should worship God."
"Believe me, woman, the time will come when people will not worship the Father either on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans do not really know whom you worship, but we Jews know whom we worship, because it is from the Jews that salvation comes. But the time is coming, and is already here, when by the power of God's Spirit, people will worship the Father as he really is, offering him the true worship that he wants. God is Spirit, and only by the power of his Spirit can people worship him as he really is."
"I know that the Messiah will come, and when he comes, he will tell us everything."
"I am he, I who am talking with you."
At that moment, Jesus' disciples returned. They were greatly surprised to find him talking with a woman. But none of them said to her, "What do you want?" or asked him, "Why are you talking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar, went back to the town, and said to the people there,
"Come and see the man who told me everything I have ever done. Could he be this Messiah?"
So they left the town and went to Jesus. Many of the Samaritans in that town believed in Jesus because the woman had said,
"He told me everything I have ever done."
So when the Samaritans came to him, they begged him to stay with them, and Jesus stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his message, and they said to the woman,
"We believe now, but because of what you said, but because we ourselves have heard him, and we know that he really is the Savior of the world."
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you for that. Health specialist, they say we should drink 8 glasses of water a day. Of course, I think that depends on how much we are running, how much we are playing. Some of us forget even to drink 3 glasses of water, not to mention 8. By the way, we might even need more than 8 glasses of water a day. When I worked to and from Cresta, I drink about 80 glasses of water just going to Cresta and coming back. And that means by the end of the day, I drink more than those glasses. Sometimes I feel like, come on, Londega, you just need a glass of milk. You're not thirsty for water. You're needing something milky. And especially with the cookies, I enjoy that. And sometimes I feel like just drinking a soda with the hamburger, it's still watery. But that is not water. In other words, no matter what I drink, there will never be any substitute for water. We all need water. But here's the thing. In fact, it's a fact. Everybody who drinks water, you and I, will thirst again. And today's passage is about Jesus being the life-giving water, the life that we drink. And once we have drank that water, we never thirst again. The person introduced to us in John chapter 4 was a member of a race especially hateful to the Jews. She is also a woman. She is a Samaritan. She is also a woman. And let me share this with you. In Jewish culture, men never spoke to a woman when they meet them in the street, even if he was her husband. Men were not allowed to say hello to a woman, whether it's someone you know or your wife. Another culture from the Jews was, bend the words of the law rather than teaching a woman what law is all about. Imagine being told, bend the Bible rather than teaching a woman what is in the Bible. That was the Jewish culture. But in the passage, Jesus brushes aside all the social regulations when he met this woman. Jesus brushes aside all that is put as law when he met this woman. He brushed aside all the regulation which tended to perpetuate feminine bondage when he saw this woman. This woman lived in habitual sin. It is clear in the passage that she has been treated unfairly. If you look at the passage, you can see that she has been treated unfairly. Because of her birth, she is a Samaritan. Because of her gender, she is a woman. Because of many husbands. And now, in the conversation with Jesus, she feels ill-treated because of her unmarried status. All she's been known for, she's a Samaritan, she's a woman, she has got many husbands. But now Jesus tells her, you are not even married. The husband you're talking about, it's not your husband. And then she is made to feel guilty again. She feels unworthy. The conversation with Jesus points to many ways in which people have let her know that she has got no place in the family of God. She's been made to feel you do not, because you are a Samaritan, because you are a woman, because you have got so many husbands, now because you actually don't have a husband, she is being made to feel like she has got no place in God's family. But here is another good thing that happens here. At the well of Jacob, Jesus makes a discovery to this woman. A discovery which he never made to anyone. In Galilee, in Nazareth, Jesus never made this discovery to anyone, that he is a Messiah. But he makes this discovery to this Samaritan woman. The object of Jesus enlightening her was to save her, because Christ always aimed at seeking out and saving the lost. He promises her water that will quench her thirst eternally. Those who have tasted water from the Nile River, they say water from the Nile River is very sweet. Others assert that very little of water from the Nile is too much for them because of its sweetness. They say once you have tasted that water, you never wish to drink it again. Yet some praises this Nile River water to the skies, while others call it just a muddy stuff. They don't enjoy water from the Nile River. One of the reasons given why the water from the Nile River is so sweet, mostly to the Egyptians, it's because of their dry climate and scarcity for water in Egypt. And so when they drink water from the Nile, it's an opportunity for them to quench their thirst, and they feel the sweetness. It's not just the taste of the water, but for them it is also good news that we are finding an opportunity to drink water because we are from a dry environment and water is scarce. Under a burning sun, a drink of water is very refreshing. When you are from an area, a community where there is a scarcity of water, just a cup of water is very refreshing. To the soul that is thirsty for Christ, that is thirsty after mercy, that is thirsty for reconciliation, that is thirsty for eternal life, just a cup of water is very refreshing and it tastes very sweet. And according to the writers, the promise of Jesus for this woman, if you knew who was asking for water, you would ask me to give you water. That for the Samaritan woman, that promise was very delightful. That promise was very sweet because the words of eternal life were coming from the mouth of Jesus. Because every promise of Jesus is sweet. If you knew who was asking for water, you would ask me, because the water I give you will gush in you, will be there for the rest of your life. Every promise of Jesus is sweet. Every promise of Jesus is delightful. But there are things more memorable in this passage than just water, than just this woman saying, but you don't have a bucket, than just Jesus saying, if you knew who you were speaking to. The woman met Jesus in this well. She listened to the truth from the mouth of Jesus. She made a discovery. In Jesus, she found treasure. She found more than just a guy, more than just someone who gave her something to drink, but he found treasure. He found new faith to hold fast to. She found Christ. She found life. She found a gift. I have got two home groups we meet during the week that excludes some of my classes at the vernacular service. So I lead a home group on Wednesday. I also lead a home group on Thursday. And one of the questions, one of the things we've been talking about over the last 2 weeks is, are you observing the season of Lent? If you are observing the season of Lent, how are you observing the season of Lent? If you have been observing the season of Lent for many past years, how has that helped you? Do you see the fruits? Do you see more reasons why you should observe the season of Lent? And yes, I always receive different answers to that. I have shared with you before that, for me, it's always interesting to listen to people when they talk about how they are going to observe the season of Lent. And you hear one person saying, for the next 40 days, friends, I'm not going to eat a whole nut chocolate. That's what I'm going to abstain from. I said, wow, that's interesting. And you hear one person saying, oh, friends on Facebook, bye-bye. I'm going to see you after 40 days because for the next 40 days, I'm not going to be on social media. I said, wow, that's nice. Oh, for the next 40 days, sugar is a no-go area for me. I'm going to drink tea without sugar. And so, Wow, that's interesting. Then I asked them a question. If you have been observing the season of Lent, why do you do it? Has it helped you or not? And I say to them, when you decide this is how I'm going to observe the season of Lent, it should not just be like, for the next 40 days, I won't watch soapies. There is no skim sum, no scandal, no estate, no what, I'm not going to watch soapies for 40 days. And then what happens next after 40 days? You go back to watching soapies. Actually, you want to do a kind of a recap. What has been happening? What have I missed? And I call that observing the season of Lent. I said to them, this is how I observe the season of Lent. Whatever I choose to do during 40 days, whatever I choose to abstain for 40 days, it's something I want to abstain from forever. Whatever I start doing from the beginning of Lent, it's something I want to do even beyond that. Because for me, the season of Lent, it's a season of receiving the gift of God. It's a season of refusing something that's going to sustain me, not only for 40 days, even beyond 40 days. And when the woman was with Jesus, she did not only receive the discovery about who Jesus is, but she also received a gift of God. Let me tell you this. Mercy from God is a free gift. Salvation from God is a free gift. A gift Samaritans were ready to believe without the help of any miracles. The Samaritan woman did not have to perform miracles to show them, to demonstrate that I have received Christ. I have found life. I have found the gift of God. But when they saw her, they were ready to receive a gift of God. A gift more sustaining, a gift more enduring, more than grass. A gift that made this woman to leave her water pot. She left her water pot, went openly back to her citizens, back to her people to proclaim what she has seen, what she has received. She went into the city with a pressing invitation. Come, come, come and see someone, the one who has told me everything I ever did. She did not say, come, come, let me show you someone who told me everything pertaining to the worship of God. No, come and see someone who has told me everything I ever did. Friends, sin must be confessed before salvation can be obtained. She goes out, come and see me, the guy who has told me everything I am, everything I ever did. For salvation to be obtained, our sins must be confessed. Conscience must be aroused for salvation to be obtained. You and I, we need the gift of Jesus, the bread without which we cannot live. The bread without which we cannot live. Lent is the season of looking for places in our spiritual life where we have the access to the well, but we don't have the bucket to accept the gift of God. See, this season is a time where we have to look for areas in our life where we have access to the well, but you don't have the bucket to receive the gift of God. The God who quenched the thirst of the people of Israel in the wilderness is the God who will walk beside us. The God who will lead us beside still waters. The God who will give us spiritual rest. And St. Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Being justified by faith, believing in Jesus, we have got peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is how I want to end. The eye of Jesus, which saw Nathanael under that fig tree, the eye of Jesus, which saw Zacchaeus up in that sycamore tree, The eye of Jesus, which gazed upon doomed Jerusalem, is ready to see us if we open ourselves to Jesus. The eyes of Jesus, which saw Nathanael under the fig tree, the eyes of Jesus, which saw Zacchaeus up in the sycamore tree, the eyes of Jesus, which gazed on doomed Jerusalem, will see us if we open ourselves to Jesus. And like the Samaritan woman, we say, give me that water. That's the only condition. Give me that water. If by now we know that the bucket we have is full of unhealthy water, water that quenches our thirst only for a moment, here is an opportunity for you and me to say, Lord, give me that water.